25th of December is upon us in earnest once again, and I don't know how you are when you're getting ready for events, big events in your life. I guess for many of us, we have three main questions that we want to ask. We ask the question of what is it that's going to happen? When is it going to happen? And how can I prepare for that event? So Christmas being a good example, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to celebrate the coming of Christ. We're going to get together, probably a few of us, and have some food and some drink. We maybe have some presents, possibly, to open, if we're really lucky, some crackers to pull. And when's it going to happen? Well, we can be pretty certain it's the 25th of December. It tends to be most years, so we've got a deadline to work towards. And how do we get ready? Well, getting down the shops probably is a, you know, for at least for some of us, I have to admit, I don't do too much of that. I have a wonderful wife who takes care of some of that for me. We have to actually think about what we're going to buy for people. We have to make arrangements if we're fortunate enough to be with family on that day or friends. So there's a number of different things, a list of things that we have to do to get ready for an event such as this. And I guess it's the same with many other sorts of events, big events in our lives, isn't it? If you think about weddings, that's another a good sort of case in point. There's the question of, well, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to get together, family and friends in church or in a registry office or wherever it is. We're going to exchange some vows. We're going to have a party. When's it going to happen? Well, the date's set. And what do we need to do to get ready? Well, when I meet wedding couples, invariably the bride says, I've got so much to do. And the groom says, I don't know really what the fuss is about. There's a few things, I suppose. So there's the list of things, again, to get through, to get done, to get ready for that day. And I guess it's the same with all sorts of different things in life. Work, deadlines, family holidays, all these sorts of things. There are these questions. What, when, and how do we get ready? The gospel passage we had this morning and the event that we're thinking about today is perhaps a bit more difficult than that. The second coming of Christ is not quite as predictable as Christmas or as a wedding day or as a work deadline or a family holiday. And yet those questions are still important questions, I think, for us to ask. What is it that we're talking about when we talk about the return of Jesus and the judgment of the world? When is it going to happen? And how can we get ourselves ready for an event as monumental as this, the most important event that we can ever get ourselves ready for? So the first question then perhaps is the what. What are we talking about when we talk about the return of Jesus, when we talk about final judgment? And it's not an easy question to answer. The Bible, it has got us some indicators, some pointers, some things to spark us and to help us to think about this day. And that passage that we had read from Matthew is one of those passages that is designed to shake us up and stir us up. That's the nature of what we call this kind of passage. It's an apocalyptic passage. That's the nature of writing. It isn't the same as, for example, a program that you might get for an event at the theatre where they say, Act 1, this is going to happen. Act 2, this is going to happen. Act 3. It's not that kind of writing. It's not a program of events that tells us exactly what's going to happen in different ways. Jesus is using this language to shake us out of our apathy, to wake us up. Awaken, people, is one of perhaps the themes of Advent. It's so easy to cruise through life being half asleep, taking everything for granted, imagining that things are going to carry on in the same way that they always have, and they always will be like that. Jesus is saying, it's not like that. He's saying, wake up. The end will come. And he talks about ordinary life, doesn't he? He talks first about the flood, about how people in the flood were carrying on with ordinary life until that moment came. And then it was too late. At that moment, they knew something cataclysmic was happening, but they weren't ready. Jesus talks about ordinary life. Somebody will be in the field. Somebody will be grinding in a mill, and it will come upon them suddenly and quickly. But what will come upon them? Well, that's not clear from the passage. And we have to be honest about what we don't know as much as what we do know. Jesus says one will be taken and the other will be left. What's not quite clear from this passage, at least, is do we want to be taken or do we want to be left? Because in other places, perhaps we might have indicators, but Jesus doesn't seem to want to go into details somehow. He doesn't give us that program that actually we'd quite like, but he doesn't give us that. The indicator is something will happen. And I think that something is that actually there will be a judgment. Now, we immediately think, when we think about judgment, many of us have that sense of fear rising in us. And yet that prayer that we prayed at the very beginning is a really important prayer to hold on to. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. The second coming of Christ is not something to fear. The coming of Jesus is something to pray for, something to welcome, something to long for. And perhaps we have some indicators in that passage in Isaiah as to why that might be. He will teach us his ways so we may walk in his paths. He will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Goodness me, don't we need that? You look at the world today. You look at the spears and the guns that need beating into pruning hooks, that need beating into plowshares. And we should be praying, Maranatha. We should be praying, come Lord Jesus, because the world needs that judgment. The world needs that judgment to bring new life and to bring new light. We so often think about judgment on the individual level because our culture is a very individualistic society. And that, of course, is part of it. But we are talking globally. We're talking about the whole of creation being brought into God's purposes and God's designs. So, of course, we should be praying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But what about us, you might say? Because we are individuals too. We do have an account. We do have to give an account of our life. And sometimes the image of the courtroom is given. And there's perhaps two things to remember here. The first thing I'm sure you will remember I've said on numerous sermons is that, and this was a Rowan Williams kind of quote, when I get to heaven, Rowan Williams says, God is not going to ask me, why weren't you more like Mother Teresa? Why weren't you more like St. Paul? He's going to ask you, why weren't you more like Rowan Williams? God's calling to us is to be the person he has created us, but the best version of that person that we can be. That's the calling. That's the aim that we have. It's very easy to be guilt-induced about all the worthy people that we see in the world, and we compare ourselves against them. God doesn't. God compares you against you and about who he's calling you to be. Perhaps another helpful image is again the courtroom and the standing in the dock at the end of our lives and the deeds of our life being read out. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? It's not one necessarily that's the program, okay? This is an illustration. The deeds of our life being read out and the judge standing, God standing in judgment over us and the hammer coming down and the guilty charge being read, as I think it would for all of us, myself included. And then Christ the judge taking off his wig, coming down out of the dock, and coming, taking our place, taking the punishment for us. And that's the other thing we have to hold on to. Yes, there will be that day of reckoning, that there will be that day of giving an account for our life, but Christ is the one who has paid that cost and that price already for us. We simply need to accept that gift. Now, we're well within our rights to say, no, this is my charge. You're not, you cannot come into this courtroom and take that. We can do that. We can refuse that. But Christ will, if we allow him, come and take that from us. So that's the what. We're a bit sketchy on the details, but we know we need to wake up. We know we need to be awake. And we know we need to live in such a way that we know the end is coming. What about the when? Well, I'm sorry, we're a bit sketchy on this as well. We don't know. Jesus says, no one knows the hour, not even the Son of Man, so be very on your guard if anybody tells you otherwise. Be very on your guard if somebody says, a week on Tuesday, the end is coming. We don't know. Jesus says, it will come like a thief in the night. And so we must get ourselves ready. And it would be very easy for us, wouldn't it, to imagine, because actually when these words were written, the Christians, the early church, the Christians believed Jesus was coming back in their lifetime, in their generation. That's what they were expecting. 2,000 years have passed. It would be very easy from when we're sitting to say, well, this is simply never going to happen. That's not what Jesus says. He says he will come at a time we do not expect. Are you expecting him to come today? Well, Jesus says he could. He could. We need to be ready. But even if he doesn't come today, even if he doesn't come within our generation, we will have our time of reckoning when our end comes. It's very easy to imagine that our lives are going to go on and on forever. And one of, I think, the sobering but helpful things about Advent is to remember that for each of us, our life is limited. It will come to an end. We will have to stand before Christ and give an account for who we are and give an account for our lives. And I think when the end is in sight in that way, it can help us to have more of a focus on how we live our lives. I see this sometimes when I talk to people who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And some of you will have been on this journey. It brings into very sharp focus the rest of the life that you have, the rest of the life that you want to live and lead. And it's a huge challenge, but in some ways that can be a huge gift as well, because it means that people can say the things they want to say. They can do some of the things that they want to do, not always, but often. I think we ought to be living our lives in that kind of way, where we don't leave things for another day because we feel like our life is just going to keep on going on and on and on. We should be saying those things to the ones we love. We should be doing those things that we feel we want to do. We should be following Christ's call for each one of our lives. So the when, we don't know. But we do know it will happen. And we need to live in readiness for that. And finally, so that's the what, the when, and finally, how do we get ready for it? You might say, well, it's pretty tricky to get ready for something. You don't exactly know what's going to happen, and you don't exactly know when it is. How do you get ready for something like that? Well, I think the answer is we get ready for it in a way that was described in the Isaiah passage. In working towards swords being beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, working towards reconciliation on the larger scale and on the smaller scale in our own lives. There's some words in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, our God. If anything should wake us up and shake us up this Advent, it should be this call to live in the readiness as if Christ was going to come home back tomorrow, because he may, but to live in that readiness anyway, that we are called to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. It's how we get ready to welcome him. So I pray that over this Advent, I pray that in the midst of all the craziness and the lists and the to-dos and the shopping and everything else, I pray that as well as all that, you will have some time to create space to get ready to welcome Christ again. Amen.